Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
I can see there's lots of people on holiday. And it's this time of year that we normally start to think about the year that's passed, and then a few weeks' time we're going to start thinking about the year that's ahead, 2016, and then some of us are going to make New Year's resolutions, and others has already given up on New Year's resolutions. Who of you have given up on New Year's resolutions? Okay. I think what is necessary is not New Year's resolutions, but total change. And change that starts with us in our minds. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. And so we need to change our thinking if we want to effect any other change in our lives. And a few weeks ago, I brought a message at the evening service entitled The Multiplication Factor. I'm not sure who of you were there in the evening service. But I'm going to build on that message this morning, and I'm going to start off by just recapping a little bit of what I shared that evening. And as I was discussing the topic of the multiplication factor, or the fact that we need to multiply, I asked a simple question. That is, how do we measure faithfulness? And faithfulness can be measured in terms of our attendance at church, if we're looking at faithfulness in church. And that it's incredibly important that we must be present and in attendance when God is speaking. Because we are not here this morning merely through ritual, merely through a spiritual repetition kind of habit that we have, or a religious notion. We are here because God wants to speak to us. Amen? Is there anybody here that's here for a different reason? Because then we need to change that. We are obviously here for fellowship. We want to see friends. We want to get connected. We want to worship God. But ultimately, we are here because we want to hear what God is saying. And it's like somebody in class. If you're not there when the teacher speaks, then you are going to suffer at exam time. Isn't that right? So when God speaks, we have to be present. And many years ago, Pastor Fred preached a message entitled The Walking Man, and he spoke about Jesus moving from town to town. And if you heard him in one town, it didn't mean that you got the message in the next town or the next town. If you wanted to hear what Jesus was saying, you had to follow him everywhere he went. And whenever he opened his mouth, you had to be there. And the same way for us in our walk with Jesus, we need to be present whenever the Holy Spirit is speaking. We need to be faithful in terms of our attendance for that reason. Secondly, we speak about faithfulness in terms of our tasks that we have, the duties that we have, and so we can measure faithfulness in that way. We can measure faithfulness in excellence. How excellent do we do what we do? And Scripture tells us that we must do what we do as unto the Lord. And my favorite scripture for my life is Colossians 3:17, which says, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. So we have many more parameters that we can use to measure faithfulness, but then we need to turn and look at Jesus' parameter, and I'm not going to read the story, but I spoke about the parable of the talents, and there was the master who gave talents to three servants, to the one he gave five, to another two, to another one, and so there are thousands of messages that's been preached on that topic, and there's a lot that we can learn from it. I just want to highlight one thing. And that's when the master returned. Then the first guy who received five came and he said, Master, you gave me five. I did some business. And now there's ten. And here's ten. That's yours. And the master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. And then the second guy came. And then he said, well, Master, you gave me two. I've multiplied that. And here's two more. So now I've got four. And the master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. And the third guy came and he thought he was going to hear the same thing. Won't you agree with me? I think he was expecting the very same thing, because he came and he said, Master, you gave me one, and here's the one that you gave me back. And I'm pretty sure he was thinking, man, he's now going to say, I'm also well done. Because why would he have that kind of thinking? He would think that because he didn't lose it. He didn't steal it. He didn't misappropriate it. He didn't blow it all on himself or something. He took great care of it. He wanted to protect it. He felt like this was a great thing, a great treasure. I must not lose it. I must not waste it. Let me protect it. So he was very committed to protecting that coin, and he put it away in a very, very safe place where no one can find it. And he did that diligently. He didn't do it by accident. He was, in that sense, faithful in keeping it and protecting it, and maybe he even polished it. I don't know. It's not part of the story, but maybe he did. And then what does the master say? The master says, go away from me, you wicked and lawless servant, because you will be cast out into darkness. And I can just imagine the grief on that guy's face, where he thought he was faithful, but he was called unfaithful. And so I'm speaking about this, and I want to build on from here, because this is for me the foundational change of mind that we must make today, and that is that faithfulness is not merely measured by attendance or how well you just do the things and keep what you have. The Jesus' measure of faithfulness, as he spells it out, he says, whatever you have received, you must multiply. If you haven't multiplied it, you have been unfaithful. Merely keeping it or retaining it for yourself is not faithfulness. In other words, the question is, what have you done with last Sunday's sermon? Have you shared it with someone else and in such a way multiplied it, duplicated it? What have you done with what God said at cell group or at small group last Wednesday? When God spoke to you, what have you done with what God spoke to you during your quiet times and your Bible study? And what have you done with that? Have you kept it to yourself, or have you multiplied it? Have you shared it with someone else? Because what that guy did with the one talent is he kept it to himself. That's equivalent to somebody coming to Bible school and he studies Bible school, memorizes the notes, but he never shares it with someone else. Now, when we want to be faithful, we must first of all receive, faithful in receiving. Secondly, we must be faithful in applying and be doers of the word. And that's not only hearers, but doers. But once we have heard the word, we have done the word and applied it in our own lives, then we must multiply it and share that with someone else. And unless we do that, we have not yet been faithful. Amen? So normally when I share this concept, people get kind of quiet, because we all come to the realization that we've had a wrong idea of faithfulness, and secondly, we come to realize that we're not quite up to standard. Am I right? Because we think if we are just here, then we are faithful, and you are halfway faithful, but you're not fully faithful yet until you share what you have received today with someone else. And so when we are talking about the multiplication factor, we must understand that Jesus expects of us to take what we have received, and he says, freely you have received, freely give. In other words, we freely receive, but there's a responsibility to give. And another scripture says that to him who has been given much, much will be required. So if you've done Bible school 3, then God will require more from you than somebody who's done Bible school 1 or somebody that's not yet done Bible school. And that's not to discourage you from going to Bible school. I actually, in fact, want to say we must all be there, because that's part of receiving. Amen? Because if you haven't done Bible school, then you haven't even received in order to multiply. Okay, are you with me on this? So everything that we receive, we have to ask ourselves, how am I going to apply this in my life, and how am I going to multiply this? How am I going to share this with someone else in such a way that that person can also multiply that and share it with someone else? So it's a repeatable process that just keeps on going and going and going. So I'm going to highlight some pictures there behind me with some faces. Okay, they'll come in a minute. There they are. Okay, I'm just going to show these quickly before we get into the next message. There you see cells. on the left-hand side, you see two eyes and one mouth, and he's happy. He's a smiley face. Okay, then the second one is pretty confused. There's four eyes and a very confused mouth. Can you see that? Okay, so this is the DNA of the cell that's being multiplied. Now, in the DNA is where all of the memory and the intelligence and the programming lies. It's sort of the will of the cell, and its way of managing itself is there. So it has to multiply itself, and so the third picture shows that it has multiplied. It has duplicated itself exactly, one exact copy. So you have two eyes and a mouth on each face connected to one another, and then the fourth one, you see them apart from one another, and it's completely duplicated or multiplied. And if we go to the next picture, we will see it more schematically. You see one cell with a black nucleus, then two cells that's sort of still connected, and it's growing. You can see the cell is growing. It's not the same size. The DNA is growing. The third one, you can see there, the cell is even growing more. There's more of a division line that's starting to form. And then finally, the fourth one, you see two perfect copies of the first one. And then the third picture shows you what it looks like in real life. Amazing picture, isn't it? So, without this principle, you can keep that up there. Without the multiplication factor, there can be no life on earth. Amen? No living being can exist without a multiplication factor, because every plant has cells that multiply. Every animal or human being has cells that keeps on multiplying. And even an amoeba, if they find an amoeba on Mars and it cannot multiply, it's going to die and there will be no life. Okay, are you with me on this? So the multiplication factor is critical, not only for life, because no life can exist without this. The same way in the church, the life in the church comes through the multiplication factor, to take that original DNA copy and then to hand it over to someone else, or to duplicate it, to multiply it so that someone else can have that same DNA. And our DNA ultimately comes from Jesus Christ. Amen. And so as we are all, in a sense, wanting to copy Jesus Christ, we need to copy him and duplicate him as accurately as we possibly can. Now, here's another key that I want to share with you from a few weeks ago. And that is that as you are sitting in the last 24 hours, between 50 and 70 billion cells died in your body. That's 700,000 every second. 700,000. As fast as you can say it, that's how fast they're dying. Okay? And so that means if you have less than 700,000, that's new cells that's being formed, you're busy dying. And if it's more than 700,000, then you are busy growing, either taller or wider. But we have to keep on growing. Now, I spoke about Zechariah 4 verse 10 that says, "Do not despise the day of small beginnings." Now, when you and I were conceived in our mother's womb, there were two cells that became one, and all of us came from one single cell. In the beginning, it wasn't impressive. One cell became two. Two became four. Four became eight. Eight became 16. 16 became 32. And it doesn't sound impressive, but 700,000 a second, does that sound impressive? Yes, it does. And if you can keep that multiplication factor going accurately, it will keep on growing. And at some point in time, if we apply this in the kingdom of God, you're going to see maximum growth. I used the example of two cell groups years ago when I was a student in Ace Fisser. There was no cell in Ace Marie. And we planted a cell. We asked three guys from Ace Marie to join our cell. We trained them up. One of them became the cell leader. In others, the nucleus was duplicated. That's, by the way, why we call cell groups cell groups. Is because the cell leader multiplies himself into an intern, and he duplicates whatever he knows, and then eventually as the cell grows from 7 to 15, the cell multiplies. But that cell group, there was nothing in Ace Marie. We planted a cell there, and the duplication factor, the multiplication factor was in place, and a few years later, maybe 5 years later, there were more than 20 cell groups in Ace Marie. And that's, I think, less than 150 students in that hostel at the time. And there were only 10 students in the whole hostel that was not born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and baptized in a cell group. Only 10. Because it started with one little cell group that multiplied into another, that kept on multiplying and multiplying and multiplying over and over and over again. And you and I are part of the kingdom of God, and we are either going to be cells that multiply, or we're going to be the dead cells that just drop out. And so it is with that in mind that I want to lead us into this week and say, but then how are we going to grow beyond? I spoke about some principles last time where I used the example of Moses that handed over to Joshua. I spoke about Elijah that handed over to Elisha. But the fact is there was nobody after Joshua and there was nobody after Elisha. Elisha trained up Gehazi, but Gehazi never really took it to heart and he never trained anybody else up. In the church itself, we can see the first 100 years of the church was wonderful. All of Asia heard the gospel in a few decades' time. But then after 100 years, somewhere the DNA got missing. Somewhere somebody didn't hand over the baton to the next generation. And so something about the true gospel, in fact, lots of it got lost. We entered the Middle Ages, sometimes called the Dark Ages, where the gospel virtually disappeared. At some stage, you had to pay for your sins to be forgiven. That was the message by the church at the time. The true gospel of salvation that comes through repentance and faith was lost. The teachings on the baptism was lost. The teachings on the baptism and the Holy Spirit was lost. There was hardly any evidence of the movement of the Holy Spirit. And so it is vital that we understand that whatever we have received, we must give unto others and multiply. And everyone has received something. Amen. None of us can say, I have nothing. Because if you have received Jesus, you can give Jesus. If you are born again, you can lead someone else to become born again. The first person I led to Jesus was just a few minutes after I got saved. I had no training, no course, no nothing. But I had Jesus, my friend didn't, and I spoke to him and I said, listen, you need to follow Jesus right now. And he did. Nobody had to tell me that because I have been overwhelmed by the love of God, by the fact that I am saved and freely I've received, therefore freely I gave. And I've never stopped since to share the gospel. But the question that's hanging tonight, or today rather, is what are you doing with what God has given you? What are you doing with what you have received? Let me just throw in one more testimony before we move on. And that is, I went on a mission trip in somewhere in the 90s in Malawi, met a man there that memorized the Bible better than anyone I've ever met. You can literally name any scripture, Exodus 5 verse 23, and he will tell you what's written there. And I tested him a little bit, and I was quite impressed by his memory of the Bible. And then I asked him a simple question. I said to him, sir, how many people have you led to Jesus in the last 30 years that you've been memorizing the Bible? And he said, none. Not one. Let us not fall into this trap that we become so highly educated and so highly spiritual and so fat spiritually. We all know the story that you mustn't be fat spiritually, you must give, that you must be like a river or a conduit and not a dam that has no current flowing through it. We know that concept. But church, we need to take this to heart and mind and ask ourselves, am I multiplying that which I have received? Now, let's just jump now to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and also verse 12. And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we have the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, and their job description is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Right, are there any saints in the house? Just wave your hand if you're a saint. Anybody doubt whether you're a saint or not? If you really believe it, just wave your hand high. I want to see that because it's the Holy Spirit going to be speaking to you. So my job description, because I'm one of the fivefold ministers, is to equip you. Now the question is, who's going to have to do the work? What does the Bible say? The saints. The saints must do the work. So in other words, who's going to cast out the demons? You are. Who's going to pray for the sick? You are. Who's going to evangelize and go door to door or friend to friend or colleague to colleague and lead people to Christ? You are. Who's going to do visitations? Huisbesoek. You are. In other words, you are the hands and feet of Jesus, and it's my job and the rest of the pastor's job to train you and equip you. But there, everywhere I travel throughout the world, and especially in Africa, I see this mindset where the church are spectators. And the example I use everywhere, because everybody loves soccer or football cool in some other places, is you have a scenario where the pastor comes in, the church is in the stadium, and the